Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial, starting the week off. I did apply for that job, Ebelon, that you were talking about, being a bus driver, and I did get it. So hopefully that'll put a little bit more responsibility in my life. They gave me a really great route in Seattle. I've got the third shift, which is swing shift, which means I drive the bus in a basically in the what they call the Central District from midnight until 7 in the morning, which is just great. I'll be a perfect target, kind of like some of the people in Chicago, for lack of better terms. So thanks for your good wishes, sir. I really appreciate that. Anyway, having said that, let's start out with some serious comments. I want to start out talking about China. Jimmy wants to talk quite a bit about Chicago, as do I, but I also want to talk about China. China is really, really getting closer and closer, in my opinion, to pulling the trigger on Taiwan, and I think that's going to terminate any warm and fuzzy feelings that people in the world have today. It would appear that what Xi Jinping has done in terms of the alliances that he has put together, it would appear that he's really in the catbird seat right now. And it would appear that the people in the Middle East are really not. I mean, with all the turmoil that's going on right now in Israel, which is the, I would have to say, the one stabilizing country in the Middle East, I would have to say that what's going on in the Middle East and what Xi Jinping has put together in terms of alliance, it looks pretty bad for the world. And it also looks pretty bad for the United States. Any comments, Jimmy?
Well, of course, we've been talking about the petrodollar becoming the petro yuan, Chinese currency, as Middle Eastern countries are accepting yuan for transfer. We know that China has manipulated its currency for many, many years.
Right.
We know that they did a lot of subsidized efforts to take manufacturing and really low cost labor because of, in some cases forced labor, but in other cases just bringing in, peasants, almost forcing them into working conditions.
Right.
Because they had a very strict regulatory policy on the way they handled the people out in the countryside. So with all those efforts, they've gained very prominent role economically, where their purchasing power parity right now is above the United States, been so for about a decade.
Yeah.
Now you take away the dollar as the stable currency, you undermine the U.S. government, you build relationships with other partners that are going to have to make a decision between a U.S. Led economic system or a Chinese led economic system. They're gaining ground. There's no way you can't argue anything differently.
Yep.
They're gaining ground in Saudi Arabia. They're gaining ground in Iran. They, of course, have a relationship with China. The French President Macron just came out and said he doesn't want to, side with the U.S. in case of an issue in Taiwan. This is splitting alliances that have existed for many, many decades. The Chinese are effectively doing it.
There's absolutely no way in hell, unless I totally misunderstood you. Macron is now a very strong ally of China, as are more and more countries in the free world.
Well, they're bowing to the political pressure and the economic pressure that the Chinese have, and as well as the financial pressure. The Chinese, they buy power. They have the way they look at corruption is much differently than the way the Western countries view corruption. It's actually part of the business. We've talked about this before.
Right.
And of course, they have tremendous influence. They've got influence over media, over the major global media corporations that were primarily U.S. based and have now become globalists.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, they've got the diplomatic, they've got the information warfare capabilities, they've got the military power, and they've got the economic power. Yeah. Those elements, those four elements, are what we as in military strategists call, you know, the elements of power. And they right now have the advantage at all of them. And our government, the Biden regime, is bowing down before them and is incapable of managing any of these crises that are coming up and may lead us into absolute global catastrophe.
Yeah. Pardon me, a little frog in my throat there. I would have to say my opinion right at this moment in time, which is 8:52 a.m. on Monday. We're going to have to wrap this thing up here by 9 o'clock. My opinion, I really think that Biden has sold out the country. I think a few people in our government have been paid off enough that I think there's a lot of people who have sold out our country, Jimmy.
I do. I think there was, and we talked a little bit off mic, the Obama view of the world. Yeah. And the people that worked in his administration was the United States was no better than any other country in the world, that we shouldn't be a world leader.
Right.
And he went on a kind of a policy, a foreign policy program that actually undermined U.S. Positions in favor of globalization. Yeah. And shared power. Yeah. Now, those same people that were involved in his administration are running foreign policy and behind the scenes of the Biden administration. I don't think Joe Biden is even competent enough to know what he's doing. Yeah. I really don't. I think these other power players, the Susan Rices, the Valerie Jarrett, the Tony Blinken, many of these people, Bill Burns in the CIA, these people behind the scenes are really undermining U.S. national security policy because of incompetence. And I do agree with you. There are probably people that are bought off in order to either by corporations and big donors or by directly by China businessmen. And Hunter Biden is a perfect example. And Joe Biden doing business with Hunter Biden and his family and the Chinese clearly shows a significant problem that we have failed to accept because – so much influence that the mainstream media has over people's ideologies, and they're protecting these people. They're protecting the Bidens and the corrupt.
Yep. No, I don't disagree. I think that's what's happening, and I hope that more and more people start talking about this. You know, I watched I watched some editorials on Fox yesterday before I went to bed, which is probably one of the reasons I didn't sleep worth a darn last night. But I really think they've got the nail. I really think they have hit the nail on the head. I really am starting to believe that there are people in America who have sold out.
I think there are, and I think there are people around the world that are selling out.
Yeah.
And it's because of power and money.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's
more than just power, Jimmy. It's power and it's security for their countries.
Well, it's short-term pressure, political pressure. And the Chinese are very good at putting political pressure on people. So in order to maintain power and justify what they think they should be doing, they're willing to bow down. And that's what... You know, that's what I see happening around the world.
Well, Jim, let's switch to another subject because it goes right hand in hand with what we're talking about right now. Let's talk about the new mayor of Chicago and all the riots that are going on there. I would not want it. Chicago at one time was one of my favorite cities in the world. I would not want to be in Chicago right now.
No, it actually looks like a Mad Max scenario or some sort of a Batman scenario where the city, you know, Gotham City has turned into a giant violent crime cesspool. And that's what we're seeing in Chicago with these, youth jumping up and absolutely destroying the Loop and, the Millennium or the Miracle Mile, attacking tourists, jumping on buses, jumping on cars, injuring innocent people, and apparently two young boys were shot.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, and this is what's really sad, the new mayor, he's mayor-elect, so he's not responsible for anything. We still have the responsibility hangs on Lori Lightfoot for how they manage this and incompetently manage it. But they're all protecting, the new mayor and others are protecting young black youth that are actually taking these actions in the street. They're trying to say, well, you can't get angry at them. What do you mean you can't get angry at them? What's happening to their parents? And you look at these, they're not dressed poorly. They're all carrying cell phones. They're, you know, this is not some, you know, uprising in the slums. This is like downtown Chicago, irresponsible governance and yeah. incompetent police presence and a very mobilized and angry and destructive set of population, which is destroying society there. I mean, that's incredibly scary to look at one of America's, you know, greatest cities being absolutely overrun by mobs right. of teenagers ripping people off and destroying the streets, and the cops can't do anything about it.
Well, what I find to be interesting is that that attitude has become just more or less accepted, that the you know, the police departments can't do anything to stop the mayhem, for lack of better terms, that's going on. I'm very, very disappointed, and quite frankly, I find it rather interesting that I'm ending my life right now in a city like Seattle. At least I can see firsthand what's going on in our society. It bothers me. The only thing that I can do is pray to God that the Second Amendment continues to, or First Amendment, sorry, continues to protect you and I, Jim.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you can't really depend on anybody else, right? And unfortunately, in New Mexico this last week, cops went to the wrong house on a domestic dispute call. They knocked on the door a few times. The owner of the house came out of the house because after a couple of minutes, yep. he didn't know what was going on. He was completely innocent, had children in the house and his wife in the house. And the cops saw that he had a gun in his hand. And of course, you know, he's trying to protect himself, not knowing what's going on outside.
Right.
And the cops shot him almost instantly. As soon as they saw the gun, they fired on him.
Yeah.
His wife actually got in a gunfight with the cops afterwards until they sorted it out as his family was calling 911 to say, what is going on? People are attacking and just killed my, you know, my dad, the young
yeah.
girl said.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is a destruction of the fabric of society where we don't trust law enforcement. At the same time, you've got these absolute crazy actions in places like Chicago or Compton, New York, around the country. And of course, this is the result of the 2020 riots and the
yep.
where everything is racist if you try to crack down on you know, criminals
yep.
because of their color. Well, it has nothing to do with their color. They're just criminals. But we're protecting them. Society has somehow decided, or at least some voices in society have said, hey, look, you can't even take action against that.
Yeah.
The cops are hamstrung. They're over-responding because of fear. And then you have incidents like this on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
and
you
unfortunately,
yeah.
you're getting to the point where we can't trust anything or anybody. And if you want to link it back to our first part of this segment, it comes right down to policies that are dividing America. And I think behind the scenes, there's a lot of influence and hands in the Marxist ideology and the Chinese
right.
influence with media and the corporations in America that are creating these conditions.
Right. Well, the only thing I can say is the only thing I can say really is what I think is a pretty interesting question. And that interesting question is, when do you think it's going to happen, Jim?
I don't know. You know, I said before, I think that enough people are beginning to be not only be afraid, but are beginning to wake up. Again, it comes down to whether or not someone's going to hold others accountable. And if we do have a problem with China and Taiwan, if there is, you know, Taiwan action, it's going to have to be before the Biden administration goes up or whoever is running in the 2024 election. So I would suspect when conditions are optimal, when the U.S. is at the bottom that they foresee in the next year and a half, at the bottom of an influence effort,
yep.
And the Europeans begin to waver. We know the Australians are wavering. We know the New Zealanders are waving. If the Japanese and Western European powers begin to waver, you may see action in Taiwan, and of course, there'd be very little to stop it.
Fox News last night gave a very, very succinct and emotional, and what I think could very well be an accurate perception of what's going on over there. I think that Taiwan is the next domino in the stack that's going to fall, Jim. I really do.
It looks very clearly they're preparing. The Chinese are preparing, and they're signaling. They're making it very clear this is what their objective is. And of course, we don't have any policy.
Actually, Fox made that very clear last night. Figures coming out of mainland China right now, not figures, but I want to say illustrations of how China plans on doing this. Not a happy time. I guess the only thing I can say is I would like to determine in my own mind at least what the rationale of Taiwan is, of the CDP is. And the reason I say that is it's pretty obvious to me what the rationale is. It's all about power, as you have been saying, Jim. And the one comment that I would make at this point is that I think it's going to happen at any time, Jimmy. I really do.
I would give one more trigger point. The world has been focused on Ukraine, right? And if Russia tries to increase its offensive operations right now, and gives a little bit of attention on Ukraine that the Taiwanese and the Chinese Central Committee and certainly in Beijing would think is an opportune moment, and of course the Taiwanese will be prepared for it. I do think that if the Russians continue to fail in their offensive operations and the Ukrainians take some sort of advantage, that may be a trigger point as well. So let's watch what happens. I think what happens in Taiwan will be directly related to what's happening in Ukraine
I can't necessarily disagree with that, but I will say that the reporting that I heard yesterday coming across from Fox really is going in the direction that Russia is actually kicking the loving daylights out of Ukraine right now. That's what Fox is saying.
There's a lot of manipulation in the media out there, and the reality is Russia has been doing this now getting close to 450 days, and they have not gained ground. They've lost ground.
Let's see what happens.
I want to make this very clear.
We've been hearing,
and people on the blog have been talking about this for a long time, that Bakhmut has fallen, Bakhmut has fallen, Bakhmut has fallen. Bakhmut still hasn't fallen. It is a killing zone right now for both sides, but the Russians are suffering miserably. Volhodar, they're suffering. Across the board, their offensive operations have stalled. They're putting their best troops in to try to take action, and they're not gaining any ground. Yep. It is a morale problem. It is a logistics problem. It is an objective problem. It is lack of purpose. And unfortunately for Russia and, of course, the Russian people, this is not going well for them, and it is costly. And Putin admitted it this weekend for Orthodox Easter. He said, we're having challenges there, which puts Putin in the direct line of sight for potential undermining his government if, in fact, he does not go farther on. And this is from the right, people that want to see success there. And of course, the left has very little power. People that are—I shouldn't say left, but the opposition, the more European-focused opposition, has very little power in Russia. But the extreme right, the ones that think he should be winning, they're the ones that are frustrated right now.
Yeah.
So this is a very delicate situation for Moscow and for Putin himself personally, as you could see frustration to the point where he's actually taken out of office.
Oh, I think you're 100% right. Jimmy, we're up to 20 minutes. Very interesting. I know you got to get out of here for one of your meetings, and that's fine. I'm very, I want to do everything I can to make that happen to you so we don't lose any continuity in what you and I are doing also. I want to say that I'm pretty nervous right now, and I am going to spend most of my time really keeping tabs on what's going on. I am not optimistic right now. And whether Russia is winning in the Ukraine or winning, or the Ukrainians are winning right now, is somewhat irrelevant to me, if you want to know the truth. I'm really kind of concerned about, I'm very concerned about my own country, Jim. And
I agree. We're just intimately connected on these global issues. Right. And I agree with you that that it is somewhat irrelevant. However, the second and third order effects of what our decision making is in Washington will directly affect Taiwan, our global power, and of course our relationship with Europe, and ultimately the U.S. economy and U.S. people. Yeah. And so these things are, they're all interrelated, and there is a tremendous war going on right now, whether you want to admit it or not.
I want you to think about something today when you're driving to and from your meetings. Maybe our best friend in the world very possibly could be the CDP. Maybe it could. I mean,
no, and I'm going to tell you straight up, the CCP is not our friend.
Okay.
They are against America and they are against freedom of thought. That is absolutely just absolutely straight. And oh, by the way, I want to remind people like Chartster and who may be listening to this, that they are 100% atheist. They take away any sense that the government is God. There is no belief in a higher power. And that is what is so dangerous.
Well, the thing that's saving me is all I can say on a personal note. The Lord is really saving me. That's how I am maintaining a certain semblance of, I would have to say, sanity. Jimmy, going to be back with you tomorrow. Thanks, bud.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.